This is June 16th, 1995. This is Bathrobe Spears Broadsides with Robert.
Bathrobe Spears Broadsides every Monday and Friday. We're a little late this morning. We apologize. I've been moving, and so I'm behind schedule, but hoping to catch up. With me in the studio is Lighthouse Linda LeMaster, who's going to help me find my way through this rather impromptu show. Unfortunately, I don't have a lot of the material I'm usually working with, like the wonderful satires from Berkeley that Cornerstone Carol Denny does with the free radio players up there. Actually, we may have such a tape in the studio. I didn't bring any with me. Well, Lighthouse Linda, why don't you sign in and tell me what you're up to, what you tend to be, I think you're going to be doing today.
Well, just the mic.
We have a rather dull mic here.
Well, I brought a few pieces of paper.
Sorry. We're gonna get this together, folks.
First of all, we adjust the seating, as in mine. I brought a few things in to share with you, Robert, and with whoever's listening. One of them from Morgan's wonderful newsletter about how men can be feminists instead of talking about being feminists.
Who is Morgan? I don't understand. A radio audience doesn't know Morgan. Perhaps you can tell who she is.
Well, shame for anyone who doesn't know Morgan Feinstein. She's a wonderful voice, ahead of her time, and she, like only two or three people in our town, has stood up for people who are treated by the psychiatric industry and works toward empowerment there. And I'll tell you more about her later.
Kiss the mic, Linda, kiss the mic. this is not a sexual abuse. We're trying to make sure that you can hear our signal out there. If you can and you want to say anything about it, we're hoping you're going to give us a call here at 89.3 FM, Free Radio Santa Cruz, at 427-3772. You can call in at any time, and I see the phone is, yes, the phone is ringing at the, I ask, and here it is. It's great. Let's take our first caller and see what's happening this morning.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi, Robert. This is Coral. Good morning.
Good morning, Coral. How are you doing?
I just turned it on, tuned you in. I guess I'm kind of a little affected by what happened with the caller yesterday.
Go ahead.
You may know what happened.
No, I don't, actually. Maybe you can brief us and the rest of the audience who may not be in touch with that.
In the middle of the afternoon, one of our... Well, I don't know. I think it's he wanted to be anonymous yesterday, but he did put it on the air. He was leaving the station and was accosted by a police person, woman on a bike, which he called an ugly cop, who he said fondled him, frisked him, patted him down under suspicion of paraphernalia, drugs, whatever, with no probable cause, just because he was coming out of the neighborhood, and she assumed that he came from a garage, which she couldn't prove when or if he really did, but just asserted in an accusatory manner that he had come out of the garage, made him sit on the sidewalk, empty his pockets. She said she touched his private parts, and he carried on about this on the air last night, but when I was...
Who was the DJ who did? Who was the victim of this police incident?
Well, he has a late night show, and...
You don't know his name, or you don't want to say?
Well, we'll find out.
I think you'll find out.
Okay.
And, he was upset when I was on my show, and he called in and kind of got some relief by telling the whole listening public, but not many people were calling it.
Well, you know, this kind of ties in with one of the things I was going to bring up today and frequently do on this show, which is a civilian police review as well as a cop watch, citizen police monitoring.
Yeah, that would be a good idea.
There actually is. The first police complaints are going to be considered at the first hearing ever in Santa Cruz, and that is coming up on Monday at 5:15 at the city manager's office. And they're having a rather unusual procedure, which I'll go into. And it's the first time when the police review board is actually going to be they're not actually really doing their own independent investigation. All they're going to do is walk over to the police department and look at what the police internal affairs report says. So it's not terribly exciting, but in a way it is a first step in that direction. But obviously it isn't going to have much impact on any real police misconduct unless we do the work, all of us, all of the listeners, you, me, everybody affected by this police misconduct. Linda, do you have any comments on
this? Yeah, I'd like to add to and talk to them about the rules they're making and the rules they need. It's like a closed iron door.
Do you have more to say about this?
Do you need people that come Monday at 5 or make complaints through the offices?
I think both are good. Making complaints through the offices is a good idea, and I also think that showing up on Monday, actually when you show up on Monday, it's not a normal meeting of the Police Review Board, which meets, I believe, the first Monday at 5 o'clock of every month at City Hall. It's their special meeting to actually get together and review, that is to say, read over the internal affairs report of the police department after the complaint was filed with the police department. There's a very bizarre procedure going on there wherein the Civilian Police Review Board does not get to look at the complaint except when they go to the police station, except when they are in the presence of a police officer. So it's very bizarre. It's very controlled. It's very much against the spirit, even the letter of the police review ordinance, which states that a copy of the complaint will be sent to the Civilian Police Review Board. But the cops and the Police Officers Association have all insisted that the complaint, once it's placed with the police department, becomes a part of the confidential personnel file of the police officer who's being complained about. But yes, I would suggest people do show up on Monday at 5:15, City Manager's office. We're having some internal radio problems here.
Is it a fact that if it is a male and a female, whether a female cop and a male suspect or vice versa with a male cop and a female suspect, that it has to be one of the opposite sex officer present?
I would say in terms of a search, yes. Although if there's a concern about the officer's safety, presumably that you can pat down for weapons. But, whether you're a man or a woman, or a woman or a man, but...
I was touched because this caller felt he was sexually abused.
Well, that, of course, certainly depends on the manner in which the police officer does this. If she is abusive or rude or inappropriate, that's a cause for complaint. And I would suggest to that caller, and to the caller, to the guy last night, and to anybody else who's suffered any kind of inappropriate police contact, I mean, you don't have to be beaten to a pulp to make an appropriate complaint. In fact, it's better that small things that you're concerned about, which possibly could be rectified or possibly could be improved, you complain about forthwith. And the number to call for Police Review Board, yeah, I'm going to give in just a moment because it's in this file. Here we go. It's right on top. It's 429-3262. Unfortunately, as fate would have it, this review board operates Monday through Thursday, 9 to 1 p.m. But I think you can leave a message on their line. It's a possibility. I think they may have an answering machine. I don't know. And there's also, their address is 915 Cedar Street. Again, the number is 429-3262. And, it's a pretty pathetic situation there. I mean, they're a toy board. They don't have any independent investigator that's funded by the city. They have to go to city council to get it. They don't have any guaranteed public hearings. Now they can't even get complaints from the police department without having Big Daddy standing over them. What they do is they can get a cover letter from the police, a description of the complaint from the police department, but they can't get the actual complaint. So I'm suggesting that anybody who files a complaint also take a copy of that complaint directly to the Civilian Police Review Board, the Citizens Police Review Board, as they call themselves, so that they will get a copy of the complaint without having to, have an armed guard present while they read it, which apparently is what they're going to do on Monday at 5:15. And they'll begin there. It'll be an open situation. The city manager's office, which is right next to the, for those who are interested, the city hall, it's right near the mayor's office, in that same complex of buildings. If you're in town, and many of us won't be because we'll be in San Francisco at the International Food Not Bombs gathering, but if you are in town, go to that review hearing. What'll happen is they'll open the hearing, and they'll close it and march over to the police department where you will not be allowed to go. They'll read the reports, and they'll march back and reopen the hearing. And all the hearing will be is sort of an announcement that they've done it. But it's possible that the victims, the complainants, who are the people whose files they're going to read, will be at that hearing as well. They had not been informed when I talked to the Citizens Police Review Board yesterday, but the worker there, Gary Yemeni, I think his name is, agreed to give a call to the two complainants.
Two complainants.
There are two complaints that are actually being being considered, and
what you need is to know that you have to complain. Might be concerned.
Well, what you need to do, this thing is happening on. Maybe I should talk this on the air,
Cole,
and you can hear this unless there's more you want to say. Maybe I can just kind of continue so we can let other people call in.
Sure. All right, thanks.
Thank you for calling.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So, we are still here, struggling away at Free Radio Santa Cruz, and continuing with what I was saying to Coral on the phone about civilian police review. The manner of making a complaint right now is you have to file a complaint first with the police department, and then it goes to the police department, and then civilian police review under police guard can look at the complaint and decide if they want to do anything about it. The actual wording of the law under which they were created a year ago states that a copy of the complaint shall be sent within 2 working days to the Civilian Police Review Board. However, that is not happening, thanks to the intervention of the city attorney, Barisone, and the Police Officers Association and the police department, which are, as could be imagined, trying to weaken this ordinance as much as they can. The last police review board meeting was Monday. That was last Monday, and the next one will be a month from Monday, the next Monday, whenever that is, in July. I believe it's the first Monday in July. I actually think it's July 10th, I guess it's the second Monday, at 5 p.m. is the next full meeting of the Civilian Police Review Board. But at the last meeting, which I attended most of, some interesting discussions came up. Most significant to me at the time was that the board was all set to cave right in to the police department's request for a longer period of time before informing the board about and forwarding complaints. Instead of 2 days, they wanted 5 days. But they were unwilling. They were going to ask for a change in the law. They were going to go to city council and say, make it so the police can take 5 days to forward a copy of the complaint rather than 2 days. But they were not going to press for independent procedures to make sure that the complaint, the actual complaint, the wording of the person who felt she or he was abused by the police, got into their hands immediately. Instead, they would accept going down to the police station, having a police officer present to read that complaint, or taking a police description of the complaint, which would be sent to them rather than a copy. The police are relying on a court decision, which really is inappropriate, called Hackett, which they came up with to, again, further insulate and mystify the police department in this situation. I'm not trying to suggest to anyone in the audience that our review board is going to do anything, even if they were sent a copy of the complaint. But this is an instance of how
can do if you give them half a chance. I think that other parts of the community, like say child care workers, ought to take a peek at the effectiveness of a union in action. In this case, co-opting is entirely, as far as I can tell, the Civilian Police Review Board, and who knows, perhaps they're the ones making policy in the police department itself. How will we ever know?
So the Police Review Board, at that Monday meeting that I attended, was again considering further emasculation of their process, and the way to fight this is to show up en masse, supporting those few members of the review board who favor a vigorous process, who favor an increased set of civilian powers, and get behind them, demand, as is happening in San Francisco, for real police review. I picked up a copy of yesterday's Chronicle, a very interesting story around the murder, one would say, or certainly the death of Aaron Williams at the hands of the police department, the San Francisco Police Department, which has been in the headlines for the last week and a half or 2 weeks. And individuals, his friends, community groups in San Francisco are not satisfied with even the somewhat stronger police review powers of the Office of Civilian Complaints in San Francisco. Instead, they are demanding independent investigation, and there are a couple of what I consider to be token investigations already in place going forward about this man who, Aaron Williams, who was who died after being beaten to death. Although, again, the coroner has not spoken definitively on that issue, but certainly witnesses felt he was beaten and then pepper sprayed and then left without treatment. And that was the reason for his death. It was a black man, and it happened in San Francisco. Here in Santa Cruz, we have incidental and routine abuse of people in Santa Cruz without recourse. We have had for years. We attempted to get a civilian review process in place. It was emasculated by city council members such as Squawk Box Scott Kennedy and others who delayed it for years, and then it essentially turned it into a mediation session. I'll tell you, after you've been abused by the police, you're not really in the mood to mediate. You want to make sure, A, you get justice, and B, it doesn't happen to the next person. And C, that you're not terrified the next time you walk on the streets, as many people are. I've spoken to victims of severe police abuse. I've been abused by the police here, but I've never been beaten by them. I want to thank the Santa Cruz Police Department for that. But of course, I've had my car towed, I've been illegally arrested, I've been illegally jailed, I've been illegally fined. I mean, the incidents are numerous. And I've also been treated on occasion with consideration and with real respect by some police officers who really went out of their way to be helpful to me and to others, as police officers should be. That's what they're paid to do. But when it happens, I encourage people to commend the police department. If you're going to complain, also commend, because both are good to do. But right now we're talking about police abuse, and that's what the Civilian Police Review Board should be doing. Well, I see Linda is examining the papers. Maybe she's come up with some thoughts on... Have you been reading the articles on police review in there, or no?
In the community notebook, Robert, right under the Complete Complaint Board.
What paper?
This is the Santa Cruz Sentinel Daily. And it announces what you've already announced on the radio. And right under it, it looks like Marty Wormhout, the County Board of Supervisors, representing the area that this radio reaches, has changed her meeting place. I thought that would interest you.
Oh, yeah, this is another subject which I'd like to go into in a moment. But let me first finish up with police review and this case. Oh, yeah, this case up here. Yesterday's paper... and today's paper, Williams doesn't make the front page of the Chronicle, but in yesterday's Examiner, he does. Mayor tells cops to review policies is the headline of today's Examiner, but since today's Examiner gets here a day late, it's really yesterday's story. Yesterday's Examiner, which talks about the day before yesterday, has a very interesting story about how police officers arrested two people and evicted bunches of others from the police commission hearing that happened in San Francisco, I guess on Wednesday or possibly Tuesday. Let me see if I have that story here. I found it very illuminating this morning. Of course, it doesn't seem to be around. What happened was when citizens showed up en masse, the police commissioners wouldn't come out, and so citizens themselves took the mics and determined that they were going to hold a hearing, at which point police officers started arresting citizens, drove everybody out of the room, and then the police commissioners came out and had their little hearing about Aaron Williams. Now, I wish I could find that. I love it so much if I did. I don't think I'm going to. Yeah, next time perhaps. But here's the latest cover story from San Francisco Mayor. This is the front page story for the San Francisco Examiner. Mayor Jordan, that's Juggernaut Jordan, Mr. Matrix, the man who's rounding up all the homeless people from the downtown, making sure they don't try to go to sleep at night, sit down with their backpacks, or eat food with food not bombs in San Francisco. Mayor Jordan has ordered the police department to review its use of pepper spray in subduing suspects and determine whether officers are well screened before joining the force as public pressure mounts to find out what happened to a man who died in custody. This incident signals the need to review the police department's current policies, blah, blah, blah. About 60 demonstrators chanting anti-police slogans converged on the meeting at San Francisco General Hospital and were met by nearly two dozen officers, some in riot gear with billy clubs drawn. Sounds almost as bad as the mini police riot in Santa Cruz here on May 11th, 1994, when they came after people for sitting on the sidewalk. An incident, incidentally, that will never be investigated by the Civilian Police Review Board. And as far as I know, and I'd like any sympathizer with the police department or police officer or police department spokesman to call if they wish to confute this, there has been no change in policies regarding hitting pregnant women in the stomach, breaking people's ribs in order to make sure that people don't sit down on the sidewalk, which incidentally is still illegal in Santa Cruz if you're 10 feet from a shop and is still being the basis of tickets for people downtown and selective enforcement. Reading a little more of this, or do you want me to say something? A little more of the story from the San Francisco Examiner about the cover-up of the Aaron Williams killing. About 60 demonstrators chanting anti-police slogans converged, met by two dozen officers, some in riot gear. Police arrested two people on a misdemeanor charge of disrupting a public meeting even before the demonstrators entered the room. Demonstrators demanded justice in the death of Aaron Williams, a 35-year-old burglary suspect who died after a violent struggle with police in front of his Western Addition home on June 4th. We'll scramble to find page. There's a picture of this happening. Williams' family and some witnesses agree that he battled the officers, but they contend that police used excessive force and say officers may have contributed to Williams' death by spraying him at least twice in the face with pepper spray and failing to seek timely medical treatment. May wasn't the word that they used, as I remember from hearing the statements of the people who saw this beating and this pepper spraying. Williams, whose hands were cuffed and legs restrained, the story continues, died in the parking lot of the Richmond District Police Station, where he was transported after his arrest. Officers called an ambulance after noticing his breathing was labored. However, what's not mentioned is that there were three hospitals within a block and a half, and he was not taken to any of them. At least two, I'm sorry. The third one was a police station, which may have had some medical facility. He was taken to another police station in the Richmond District. The cause of his death has not been determined. Medical examiner Boyd Stevens said Williams may have been high when he died.
Now, high on pepper gas.
Right, high on pepper gas. Or possibly on something else, but...
pepper gas is fatal. They know it. The police
use a drug, I guess, get killed by the police. The death penalty for drug use. It's a short circuit we're using these days, folks. Jordan gave the police department and the commission 30 days to tackle the issue. And again, we see this laborious business, but no officers are being suspended. Some of these cops have a history of abuse. One of them was actually fired from the Oakland Police Department, but he's back on the San Francisco police force, apparently contributing to the death of innocent, or let's not say entirely innocent, but citizens who do not deserve the death penalty for what they're doing. Charles Livingston, a lawyer for the Williams family, called for the immediate suspension of all officers involved in the arrest pending completion of the investigation. But Rivera, who's the head of the police department, and police commissioner President Lau said that would be premature. If my homicide inspectors tell me there is probable cause that officers committed a crime, that would certainly be the course of the action I would take, Rivera said of the request. Despite repeated assurances from Jordan, Rivera, and Lau that thorough investigations were underway, the Williams family was not appeased and warned that the public would not let the incident pass. Williams' cousin Corey Clark said Williams' death had created a volcano ready to explode. The Reverend Cecil Williams, no relation to the deceased, who spoke at the funeral, said the death was a wake-up call for the black community to insist that city officials find out what happened that night. Williams' sympathizers are skeptical of the department's ability to investigate itself. I think there's a cover-up, said Williams' aunt, Lynette Robinson. I am very, very upset with the system. Minister Anthony Arrington of the Missionary Church of God of Christ of Berkeley characterized Williams' death as a murder. and mockingly asked the police officers involved, "When your kids ask what you do for a living, do you answer, 'I kill black men for a living'?" In addition to the coroner's inquest, which is expected to take another 2 weeks, police department's homicide unit and management control division are conducting investigations, as is the Office of Citizens' Complaints, the city's independent police watchdog agency. So that's what's happening up in San Francisco around the Williams case, and I also noticed a cop kills a man at a Mission hotel. A Mission District man was shot and killed by a San Francisco police officer Wednesday night after he allegedly lunged at the officer with a knife. 42-year-old dead man identified Thursday as David Boss, former mental patient. I like to put that one in. Incidentally, it's a statistic that mental patients are, as a rule, much less violent than most of the population, who in January was placed by a city agency at the residential hotel where he was killed, according to police, pronounced dead. He was walking around. Well, that case does not involve a person being kicked and pepper sprayed and then denied medical treatment. So I'm going to suspend judgment on that. Linda?
Well, I'd like to comment on the whole tendency toward violence of the San Francisco Police Department. When you talk to them, when you go up and talk to the officers, they make this distinction between the county and the city. But I didn't observe it myself last October when I had to be manhandled by the police and watched another man be beaten, attacked, thrown on the floor, and beaten bloody. You know, he was a pulp in places, including his face, by six policemen who thought he wasn't responding to questions quick enough.
Can you give the background to some of this? What is this police about?
Well, it had to do with an attempt to serve free food to homeless people by the Food Not Bombs in San Francisco. And I was there because it was a rare day in my life where I wasn't responsible for my children, so I thought I need to support this while I have the chance. And I saw a young woman tackled by police, and because she was yelling back at them and telling them to show some respect to her body, they just intensified their force. So I kind of stepped into being the next in line because I was afraid.
Now, you were serving free food, and where was this happening? And were you engaging any violent conduct or illegal behavior as far as you're concerned? Or?
Well, I don't think I'm violent, period. When's the last time I was violent? As far as illegal behavior goes, I suppose that city has laws against feeding hungry people free food. It looked like it. I don't know. I don't live in San Francisco. My daughter was going to school there. Maybe I should read all the laws before I visit San Francisco. But I guess it has laws like in our city that just discriminate against poor people.
So you were now, where did this happen? You were trying to serve people. What were you trying to serve? What were you, kind of food
I
were you giving?
I think we were outside City Hall, and there were two or three foods available, but I was trying to serve some salad to people. And there were hungry people around, you know? And it reminded me of dogs or something, you know? It's like people trying to get a little bit of food and run in and get this cup of food from those brave people who were giving it out before the police intercept it, you know? And apparently this had been going on for some time in San Francisco, where if you're homeless and you happen to be downtown, you eat at the risk of losing your hand or your arm or getting beat up. But what I wanted to comment here on is about being in jail and how I observe the police behavior there. And I know that's against the law.
Again,
anywhere.
For our listeners, we're talking about San Francisco and an incident that happened last year apropos of the recent killing of Aaron Williams in San Francisco. Go ahead, Linda.
My point is that the police officers there get to beat you up, and especially if you're black. You know, I was in jail with people who were saying the only white people in the men's holding tank, where they, one of the many places they push you around in this maze of taxpayer spending, I guess, or something. The only people that weren't black were the Food Not Bombs workers. This is an opinion of a black person who was stuck sitting on a wooden bench with me, just sitting there for a long, long time, like about an hour and a half, until we got to watch the police beat up this guy that they didn't think talks fast enough.
So give us more details about what happened with this guy that they beat up.
Oh yeah, you want the blood and gore? I'm a little disturbed by it when I remember it. It's really upsetting for me. It helps me appreciate Santa Cruz for all of its inefficiencies and lack of training and obliviousness to their own bigotry. At least they don't gang up on you and beat the shit out of you every chance they get. You know, these guys are real bully thugs, and they ought to be investigated by some world court if there is such a thing.
Yeah, and actually complaints about institutional violations of human rights in San Francisco have been made with Amnesty International and with the United Nations and with the World Court. United Nations, of course, is celebrating its 50th anniversary in San Francisco, and Food Not Bombs is having an international gathering there, and this might be an appropriate moment to mention that I'm going to be taking a van of people up to that gathering. That'll be on Monday. The gathering has actually begun today, and workshops are happening today, a whole variety of workshops, in case you are going to be there. But if you want to go up in a van on Monday, you should give me a call at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. See if we can fit you in. If we can't, we're going to try to expand the caravan. And if you want to provide a car and or a van yourself and go on up, we're going to assemble at 1 o'clock at the town clock, 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Monday, June 19th, at the Santa Cruz town clock to go up to the Food Not Bombs International Gathering in San Francisco, where it's not merely a demonstration, it's not merely a free meal, it's a whole 10 days of intensive workshops on issues as varied as, well, I talked to them this morning, I talked to Chris at the, there's a second radio station, Food Not Bombs, is Liberation Radio is broadcasting from San Francisco, has been for 2 years, similar to our free radio Santa Cruz. But there's a second radio station which has opened up, actually a third. There's a second one in the Mission. It goes in Spanish. There's a third one now in San Francisco that is broadcasting from the seventh floor of a Taylor Street building with a very good range. I wish I had the call numbers of that station. If anybody knows, call in and tell me. I'll announce it on the air. But, for instance, the kind of workshops that are happening today, there's... Food Not Bombs Radio Network, 1:30 to 5 at 25 Taylor Street, room 701 with Richard Edmondson. There's the police infiltration, how to deal with it, 1:30 to 3:30 at SOMAR with Eli Rosenblatt and Alex Vitale. There's a fundraising workshop this morning, even as we speak. Fundraising 101, it's called, 9 to 12. That's with C.T. Butler. There's a stenciling workshop this afternoon. All this is in San Francisco, unfortunately, so you got to get up there. And that's with Keith McHenry. There's a whole bunch of different workshops. The phone number to call if you want information in San Francisco on these workshops is 415-351-1672. Again, the number to call in San Francisco for information about the international gathering is 415-351-1672. And if you want to get on the air with Free Radio San Francisco, or whatever they're calling themselves at this time, call 415-441-0592. That's 415-441-0592. And in case you didn't get those numbers, go get a pencil or a pen, and I'll repeat them in a few moments. Food Not Bombs is having 10 days of intensive workshops to support the right to people to eat, the right of people to organize, the right of poor people to exist in this country, and particularly in San Francisco, where there is massive crackdown against homeless and poor people under the reign of Mayor Frank Juggernaut Jordan, who is running for re-election this year and hopefully will be defeated. But again, we can't guarantee that a new mayor will be any better. The previous mayor was Art Agnos.
He was better than Jordan.
And Agnos was no better at all around Food Not Bombs. He was the one who initiated the harassment and arrests of Food Not Bombs and destroyed homeless encampments. It's true he didn't start the Matrix program, but he had his own program. He was a sort of, he played the liberal role, but when it came to arresting people for serving free food, he started the whole business. Linda, you want to say something about that?
Well, I want to get back to what Coral was talking about, but I have one thought about the international gathering in San Francisco. Even if you want to not do workshops or work or shop, it might be wonderful if you could get there. I can't, so give me a call when you get back. Because they're going to have a tent city in Golden Gate Park where you can meet people from like 60 different other cities around the world, and just being there, I think, would be worthy. You know, what Coral was talking about, Robert, as far as if you happen to be in a certain neighborhood and you walk out on the street, you're at risk of frisk. You know, until about a month ago, I lived on Barson Street, and I know how very sadly true that is. And we've watched the city in the last year or so trying to pass special laws that just throw out ordinary civil rights so they can do this legally. But meanwhile, the police are doing it as they please. And I don't think there's any solution for that until people in numbers start complaining about it. In the same way this neighborhood I recently moved out of is starting to stand up for having a place that's safe for kids to play without getting hit by a car, they need to stand up for having the police conduct themselves like police. You know, I think that because the police prey on young people in this neighborhood the same way they prey on hippie or homeless-looking people downtown, they get away with it. And they wouldn't do the same thing to somebody my age as likely.
Right. I'm glad you bring back the focus to Santa Cruz, Lena, because that is where we are, that is where our listeners are, that's where you all are, that's where we have to really live and consider what to do about police misconduct. I mean, this is something I've been dealing with for a decade because I've been organizing around some particular homeless rights issues like the sleeping ban. And I've adopted numerous different approaches. One was a petition asking for a civilian police review board. We got 3,000 signatures for that. They ignored that one, the city council, our liberal city council under Mayor Laird and then under Mayor Wormhout. So we started sit-in demonstrations. They arrested us, seized homeless bedding, seized homeless backpacks, destroyed homeless literature, abused homeless people, spent literally hundreds of thousands of dollars in the post office a homeless vigil, which happened in 1989, right after the earthquake, until the summer of 1990, when we had the 4th of July homeless rally. Police abuse continued. I've been arrested repeatedly on charges that were dismissed, bogus, such as false information, failing to give a proper name. They know who I am. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not trying to evade justice. I'm trying to seek justice. That's the whole point of what I do here in Santa Cruz. Apropos of which, I encourage you to call in. Anybody listening who has any questions or has any reports about police misconduct, you don't have to give your name, you don't have to say who you are, but it's important to let the community know what is going on. Don't exaggerate, tell exactly what happened, tell exactly how you feel about it. We're here to communicate your voice. And the call-in number is 427-3772. That's 427 Free Radio Santa Cruz here in Santa Cruz. Linda?
I'd like to add to that a little quickie lesson in Cop Watch. I haven't done much Cop Watch except on my own street since years ago when Robert and two or three other people were teaching us that we had the right to watch these guys in action. And I was one of the people who benefited back when Zanotto's was Albertson's. But it helps, and there's only a few things you need to know. One is, don't get in an argument with the police. You're there to watch. Another thing is, get the badge numbers, get the car number if they're in a car and you can't see their badge numbers. Feel that you can ask them questions. Maintain a respectful tone if you do so. At all costs, don't interfere with what they think they're doing, but make sure they know you're watching.
Yeah, that's good advice, but also don't forget, you do have a right to watch. They tell you to leave, take a couple steps backward and tell them you are observing and to proceed with what they're doing. The important thing is that you watch and draw other people to watch as well. I see we have a phone call.
Hi there, you're on the air with Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi.
How you doing?
Not bad.
This sounds like Skidmark's Bob, if I'm not mistaken.
It could be.
Or Cop Watch Bob, as you used to be called.
No.
I believe
so. No proof to that.
I think you were running around with a video camera one time, taking pictures of the police.
But eyeballs work.
I would never do that. Just so happens you guys are talking about police. Isn't that funny?
It's a strange coincidence, isn't it?
Yeah, I noticed. Hi, Linda. How you doing?
Good morning, Bob.
I noticed that you're talking about Barson Street, and there's been a lot of police activity there lately. And I don't know if you already talked about it or not.
Tell us more.
Well,
a little bit.
A friend of mine was accosted the other day by Officer Lansdowne. Let me say that again. Officer Lansdowne, who...
Female officer?
Yes. Hey. And she busted him, said that he was in some garage, and he was not, and that was her whole reason for busting him. And
were you a witness to this, Bob?
Him. No, he told me all about it. He was on the radio last night talking about it.
But I think Coral actually called in briefly about this too, but go ahead, give us more details.
Well, he basically was was searched, and she went through his pockets and found some, you know, like political propaganda and things like that, and took his pipe away from him, although he had no marijuana, and then basically let him go, and they just hassled him. They're doing that a lot on Barson Street, and because I think it's because of this barbecue thing that's happening tomorrow. Lower Ocean people are getting together. I'm not sure what time, but it's at the Unity Church, and people might want to go out there for that, and you know, say their piece. I think they're cleaning it up, because last night I noticed half the city council was walking around the Lower Ocean area.
Yeah, that's a cleanup from 10 to 12 at Clay and Barston Saturday. That's what it was on the Food Not Bombs hotline. Apparently they told Food Not Bombs about it. The Lower Ocean Street neighborhood group is doing that. They say wear old clothes and have some fun.
Yeah, have some fun. So they're going to be out there doing their thing, and they're trying to make a presence. I was at one of the meetings where they, you know, talking about more police intervention, but that's not all. The neighbors don't feel like that. I met a couple of neighbors that, you know, thought it was good what I said, because I was the only one that was saying that, you know, things like the government brings in the drugs that the people sell, and the people have to sell them because they can't get jobs anywhere because of things like the crime bill 187, you know, affirmative action, things like that are happening to people. But anyway, that's all I wanted to say.
Wait a minute, don't go. Linda's got a question for you.
Yeah?
Yeah, I appreciate what you're saying. You know, the police department has already benefited by the extra money that's supposed to go into that neighborhood. So maybe they are trying to, like, catch up on their workload so it looks like they get to keep their money or something. Who knows? I'm speculating. But
well, there's
special money for that neighborhood. It's about time neighbors get up and figure out what kind of place they want to live in.
Right.
You know, because right now it's a police state.
Right, exactly. Yeah, they're making a big presence there ever since that meeting. They've been out there. They're supposed to have one beat cop out there walking around. But, you know, all my people that I know that live down there, I live down there, and they're more intimidated by the police than anything.
Now, do you recommend people show up at this, cleanup at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning at Barson and Clay?
Yeah, especially if you live there.
Yeah, well, the question is, can we clean up some of the police abuse and some of the cover-up of the police abuse? I guess that's...
I say come down there dressed as a property owner and you're less likely to be hassled or ticketed. I've seen them totally roust a guy because he couldn't prove he had a license for his bicycle when they pulled him over and asked for it. It's that bad sometimes.
Yeah, well, unfortunately I have to go.
Oh, fine. Call us in. Tantalize us and then go. Okay, well, thank you for calling.
Be careful out there.
All right.
And remember the gathering.
Yes, sir.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So you are still listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 89.3 FM on your dial. Phone number 427-3772. You are invited to call in and join the discussion, join the debate. We want critical calls as well as supportive calls. If you've got an opinion, we're interested in hearing it. The subject on Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides, which comes Monday and Friday, 10 to 12 in the morning, is rights for poor people and problems of poor people. So, got something to say about that? Give us a call. I was discussing the Civilian Police Review Board, and I guess I've got a few more notes. Let me wind this up. Police Review Board, actually, as I said, is taking its first two complaints and doing its first two cases on Monday at 5:15, I believe so. Monday at 5:15 in the city manager's conference room on June 19th. This will be the first time when any board or government body in Santa Cruz has considered a police misconduct complaint. Actually, all they're doing is looking over the internal police investigation of two complaints. And they're doing so under guidelines that are inappropriate in terms of being violating the actual law under which they were set up. They are going to the police station, looking at the complaint under armed guard, and then going back. Instead of sending for a copy of the complaint, reading it at their office or at the city manager's office, and then considering it. Why is this important? Who cares if they can get a copy of the complaint by going to the police station? Why not just do that? Well, you have something to say about that, Linda?
Well, I have a comment about something else you said. It's not the first time that this has happened. It's a matter of course that the Santa Cruz City's Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women reviews police records, police complaints, and the police reports themselves. In fact, that commission was set up through a voter mandate, so they get to act like they were told to act by order of the people, and that can be done. And the contrast here that's important, I think, is that the Citizens Police Review Board was created by committee fiat under the city council. Only half of the council members were interested, and they were interested in compromise from the beginning, and that's the direction that these appointees as a whole seem to be pursuing. They need to be made accountable to the intent of their existence, and it's going to take an outcry. If I have a police complaint, I'm certainly not going to the police review board from how it is now, and I'm certainly not going to the police department. And if the city council's not responsive, damn it, I'm calling 60 Minutes, or maybe Free Radio Santa Cruz. I'm not going to play these games that hide more and more things under the rug. We got a dirty enough rug in this town as it is.
Well, I think calling Free Radio Santa Cruz is a good idea. I also recommend filing complaints with the police review board simply to establish a record for the future. I've been recommending that for a long time. I wanted to ask you about the Women's Commission for the Prevention of Violence. I always get the name of it wrong.
Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women.
Violence Against Women. There we go. The Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women. Do they actually troop over to the police department to read the records?
Right now, their subcommittee who's in charge of police oversight do go to the police department as a convenience, but they have the power and authority to call those records over to our office. Pretty much, in terms of informal protocols, it's only those two options. But I read the law that instituted this commission, and I'm recommending to the community that something similar may be needed to make the Citizens Police Review Board worth bothering with.
Well, yeah, what's needed has been suggested by street lawyer Wonton Dave Jacobs, who's been dealing with the police, I should say street advocate, who's been dealing with police misconduct in a very personal way.